Dayam Shrupada Paramahamsa Pri Prajagacharya Stotra Satya Sri Simad His Divine Grace Siravai Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Iskanda Viti Founder Charya's Divine Grace Sri Prabhupada Ki Namacharya Sri Haridas Thakur Ki Samavata Bhakti Vrinda Ki Harinam Sankirtan Ki Grantaraj Simad Bhagavatam Ki Daini Tai Gaura Pimanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and to Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya. Jakshurinbiritam jena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam stapitam jena bhuttale Swayam rupa kadamahyam darati svaparantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savarutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitam Scham Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Narayanam Namaskritya Dram Chaiva Narotamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraya Nasta Praya Shabadrishu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavata Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangom Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinataranam. This morning I thought of doing two things. One is, of course, read a verse from the Bhagavatam, quite a few verses before this one. I don't have a purport, so we'll just read those verses as well after chanting the mantra. And then the second thing is, as we all know, today is actually very special day, being Gita Jayanti, and there's a very a wonderful section in the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, I'm sure you have all read it or heard it before, describing, glorifying actually Bhagavad Gita, and at least a few minutes we'll hear from that and try to speak a few things in connection with Bhagavad Gita, since Bhagavad Gita is the core, you know, of our teachings, and in many ways very significant in terms of various, I would say, developments that have taken place within our society and that are yet to take place as well. So which number is on the board here? 40? 48, okay. Tam durjayam shatrum asahya vegam arun tudam tan na vijitya kechit kurvanti asad vigraham atra martyair mitrani udasina ripun vimudaha tam durjayam shatrum asahya vegam. Arun tu dhamma tan na bijitya kechit.
Arun tu dhamma na bijitya kechit.
Kurvantya sad vigraham atra martyair.
Kurvantya sad vigraham atra martyair.
Mitra nyudasina ripun vimuddaha. Tam durjayam shatrum asahya begam.
Tam durjayam shatrum asahya begam.
Aruntu dhamma tan na vijitya kechit.
Aruntu dhamma tan na vijitya kechit.
Kurvantya sad vigraham atra martyair. Mitra nyudasina ripun vimuddaha. Tam durjayam shatrum asahya vegam. Aruntu dhamma tan na vijitya kechit. Kurvantya sad vigraham atra martyair. Mitra nyudasina ripun vimuddaha. Tam durjayam shatrum asahya vegam.
Arun
tudam tan na vijitya kechit. Kurvantya sad vigraham atra martyair.
Mitra nyudasina ripun vimuddaha.
Ladies. Tam that Durjayam, difficult to conquer, Shatrum, enemy, Asahya, intolerable, Vegam, whose urges, Arumatudam, capable of tormenting the heart. Tat, therefore, Navijitya, failing to conquer over, Kechit, some people, Kurvanti, they create Asat, useless, Vigraham, quarrel, Atra, in this world, Martyai, with mortal living beings, Mitrani, friends, Udasina, indifferent persons, Ripun, and rivals, Vimuddha, completely bewildered. Translation and purport by the followers of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Before reading the translation to the text of 48, we'll just go back a few verses that have no purports, beginning with 44. I'll just read the translation. Although present along with the struggling mind within the material body, the Supersoul is not endeavoring because he is already endowed with transcendental enlightenment. Acting as my friend, he simply witnesses from his transcendental position. I, the infinitesimal spirit soul, on the other hand, have embraced this mind, which is the mirror reflecting the image of the material world. Thus I have become engaged in enjoying objects of desire and am entangled due to contact with the modes of nature. Text 45. Charity, prescribed duties, observance of major and minor regulative principles, hearing from scripture, pious works, and purifying vows all have as their final aim the subduing of the mind. Indeed, concentration of the mind on the Supreme is the highest yoga. Text 46. If one's mind is perfectly fixed and pacified, then tell me, what need does one have to perform ritualistic charity and other pious rituals? And if one's mind remains uncontrolled, lost in ignorance, then of what use are these engagements for him? Text 47. All the senses have been under the control of the mind since time immemorial, and the mind himself never comes under the sway of any other. He is stronger than the strongest, and his godlike power is fearsome. Therefore, anyone who can bring the mind under control becomes the master of all the senses. And today's verse with short purport. Failing to conquer this irrepressible enemy, the mind, whose urges are intolerable and who torments the heart, many people are completely bewildered and create useless quarrel with others. Thus, they conclude that other people are either their friends, their enemies, or parties indifferent to them. Purport. Falsely identifying oneself as the material body and accepting bodily expansions such as children and grandchildren to be one's eternal property, one completely forgets that every living being is qualitatively one with God. There is no essential difference between one individual being and another, since all are eternal expansions of the Supreme Lord. The mind, absorbed in false ego, creates the material body, and by identification with the body, the conditioned soul is overwhelmed by false pride and ignorance, as described here. One important verse from the Bhagavad Gita, since we're speaking about the mind, comes to mind. All of us have heard it, I'm sure, many times. Prabhupada quotes it quite often as well. Mama evangsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana mana shastrani indriyani prakriti stani karshati. Although the jiva, living entity, is ansha, part and parcel, sanatana, eternal, part and parcel, as pointed out here also, of the same nature, of the same quality, qualitatively, the same as Krishna, because of his coming in contact with or identifying with the material mind and the material senses, mana shastrani indriyani, indriya, senses, Prakriti stani karshati. Prakriti, material nature. Due to this false connection, false identification with the material mind and the material body, the senses, all such living entities in the material world struggle very, very hard with the mind and the senses. This is, of course, all of us, every single day, we experience that even as devotees, because it is, since time immemorial, we are having this very difficult condition and situation. And I will make, immediately the connection to the Bhagavad Gita, because actually the whole purpose of the Bhagavad Gita is to get us, to bring us above this very difficult and embarrassing condition of being controlled in this way by the material mind and the material senses. And of course, the root of all this is, again, as mentioned here, the ahankara, false identification. So this is directly the difference between the soul, for example, and the super soul is one of the basic preliminary essential teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. And the introduction, Prabhupada goes, it's a long introduction actually, the Bhagavad Gita, where Srila Prabhupada summarizes, you know, the five main components or principles that are taught in the Bhagavad Gita. And it's very important for us to get that message across to people when we try to explain to them about the goal of life or the purpose of life. Such basic knowledge, you know, basic information. Although basic, majority of people actually don't have. And therefore, the importance of such a book as the Bhagavad Gita. Most of us in the Western countries, at least that was my case, took many years before even coming in contact with Bhagavad Gita. Some of us came in contact through different literatures, but in the early days, Bhagavad Gita was, even now, of course, remains the most important book, the preliminary book, because it contains a very profound knowledge and philosophy. And until and unless the conditioned soul comes in contact with the Bhagavad Gita, then he remains struggling and therefore unhappy in this material world. So therefore, we were mentioning how present Prime Minister of India, when he goes around, he presents the Bhagavad Gita, understanding that is actually the highest gift that one can give, you know, to individuals. And therefore, at the end of the introduction, and I wanted to read this a little bit, Bhagavad Gita is significant in many ways. One of them, especially for communities as the one we have here in New Taliban, we all know how many years ago, before coming to the Western world, Srila Prabhupada, he put together, he wrote his essay, Gita Nagari. So Gita Nagari is actually based on the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. And there are many important elements within that essay written by Srila Prabhupada that are relevant, especially to such communities. I was mentioning a few small things in the last few days. For example, there are two major areas of development that will make such communities successful, isn't it? The first one is establishing a wonderful temple where the Lord is worshipped and where the Lord becomes the focus of attention for all the residents of that community. That is the first phase, we could say, of developing the community, bringing closer and closer all of the members of that community focused on serving the Lord, just like here we're serving Sri Radha, Radhakanta, and Sri Gornitai. The second development that needs to take place is in connection with developing educational facilities that will assist or help the residents of that community to become more, you know, advanced, more knowledgeable about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and also to give an opportunity for outside people. And if these two things, so in the essay on Gita Nagari, Srila Prabhupada makes that point, which when I first read it, I thought it was very important, and we can see in trying to develop such communities that they go hand in hand and they're very important. We have yet, of course, in most communities we have a temple and we have deities, but the educational aspect is still to be developed, and in some places it has begun, but we need to do a lot more in that respect. In that essay on Gita Nagari, before going to the verses I wanted to read from the last portion of the introduction, glorifying actually Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada also speaks about how to, because very often devotees have that question, what actually is my nature? We know we're servants of Krishna, but in terms of my material nature, in terms of my varna, how to understand what is my varna? And Srila Prabhupada actually gives information regarding four ways by which one can know his material nature. Those who are qualified brahmanas, they're the ones, by their knowledge, by their experience, they will at an early stage be able to determine and to inform, actually, a young person generally doesn't know and therefore needs guidance. So one of the processes used to understand the varna. Varna means material inclination. It means two things, especially determining what type of education. It's only when we know the varna inclination of an individual that we can direct that individual towards a particular form or type of education. And that particular type of education will also determine one's occupation, within society. So everything is very systematic, So that if that's not done, then people, as it happens today, they end up, maybe at 25, 30 years of age or more, not really understanding what their actual nature is, and therefore not properly fitting within society, and of course lacking basic tools, and therefore just being caught up, as nicely described here, being caught up with their material mind and therefore not able to properly reciprocate or establish healthy relationships with others, and so many complications arise from that. So one of the ways that Srila Prabhupada mentions in that essay of Gita Nagari is by astrological calculation. Now, you know, in the early days, astrology was not a big popular item or topic. As a matter of fact, many devotees, even today, consider that it is very much secondary. It is secondary in the, you know, in the big picture, but it has its place and it is part of Shastra. And when we live in a varnashram kind of a situation, then astrology is important. Prabhupada spoke at different times, sometimes minimizing its importance, other times saying that, well, yeah, this is one of the sciences, and, you know, to understand how to find an appropriate partner within a householder situation, that traditionally has been done, and we do it as well today in our ISKCON society. If one is properly trained, then it can be very helpful. So that was one of the ways that Prabhupada indicated that can help one understand the varna. Another one is by studying the family lineage. What did one's father do? What was his profession? What was the profession of his father? And like this, going down generation after generation. In India, you still, some of you might have had that experience. When you visit some temples, they will, well, that's especially for Hindus, you know, they will ask you your gotra. They don't ask that to Westerners. Sometimes they may, but twice born, the dvijas, brahmanas, kshatriyas, and vaishyas, they historically would know, and it would also be recorded what is their lineage, and in this way, one can have an understanding. That's, of course, if one, because the dvijas are the ones who are meant to strictly follow the samskaras. One of our devotees is coming out with a book on garbha samskara. Garbhadhana samskara, rather. The first of many samskaras that in the Vedic culture need to be performed to maintain purity and to help develop the needed qualities that every single human being should develop to facilitate one's advancement in Krishna consciousness and one's adjusting and being functional, let's say, within society. Garbhadhana samskara. It is very important aspect. So when that is in place, then people actually more easily will fit into one of the different varnas. And then Srila Prabhupada explains that by by observation one can understand the tendencies. You know, if a young child cannot stay at one place more than 2 minutes, then he is generally more on the passionate side, etc., like that. And the last method or process that Prabhupada identifies in that essay on Gita Nagari is by administrating what he terms as psychological test. You know, I've not seen within our society, because we're not really doing these things so much, but we do see how in the secular world, it's like if you want to be admitted for some particular course or possibly get some particular job, there will be some tests and whatnot. And in this way, one can understand an individual's nature more clearly. So in other words, this is all inspired actually from, you know, why did Srila Prabhupada give us this essay on Gita Nagari? And we are trying actually to get this published, because up to now it has not been. And there are many other aspects within that essay. It's a short essay, actually. But our community in Gita Nagari has taken a lot of inspiration from that. Actually, all of our communities are meant to take inspiration from this particular essay, which essentially is touching, again, the main themes or the main points that are given in the Bhagavad Gita. Our whole our whole life as devotees is meant to be centered on the basic teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. And so today being that day when Arjuna requested Krishna to pull his chariot in between the armies to observe with whom he would have to fight, then that whole conversation, of course, which is in many ways the most important conversation that has ever taken place, has fortunately been recorded, and our whole life is meant to be centered on these teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, and further elaborated, of course, in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'll just read one small section. Mayapur Dham, you're standing right in front of the clock that I can't see. Totally blocking it.
He does it every day.
Timeless. So this is Srila Prabhupada quotes actually this different verses from the Gita Mahatmya, and very wonderful description. I think cannot read the entire thing, but at least some of the verses to commemorate the event which has given us the possibility to actually become saved from our material mind and material senses. So this is the very last portion of the introduction, which is a long introduction, and Prabhupada concludes in this way. In conclusion, Bhagavad Gita is a transcendental literature which one should read very carefully. Gita Shastram Idam Punyam Yapatet Prayatam Puman, which means if one properly follows the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, one can be freed from all the miseries and anxieties of life. I mean, just on this point or basis, because nowadays modern society, modern leaders don't know about the Bhagavad Gita, therefore they are creating, by their activities, by their policies, by their legislation, a very increasingly complex situation, and due to that, actually, people, as we know, are suffering tremendously. Bhaya shokadi varjitaha. One will be freed from all fears in this life, and one's next life will be spiritual. That is the first. Reference, mantra number one from the Gita Mahatmya. And then, of course, Prabhupada goes on to explain, there's also a further advantage. So many advantages. Gita Jayana Shilasya Pranayama Parasya Cha Naiva Shanti Hi Papani Purva Janma Kritani Cha. This is the second mantra, which translates as follows. If one reads Bhagavad Gita very sincerely and with all seriousness, then by the grace of the Lord, the reactions of his past misdeeds will not act upon him. And of course, Prabhupada connects this with the last instruction of the Bhagavad Gita, 1866, Sarvadharman Parityaja Mamekam Saranam Braja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishyami Mashuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Thus the Lord takes all responsibility for one who surrenders unto him. And he indemnifies such a person against all reactions of sins. That's a very, should be very comforting for all devotees, you know, knowing that when we surrender to Krishna, the more we surrender to Krishna by hearing and following the good instructions by the Lord takes personal care of his devotees. During the entire life, and especially at the moment of leaving our bodies. Otherwise, Krishna, he allows his material nature to do what is needful for those who are non-devotees. So for the devotees, the Lord is always actually personally looking after his devotees. And this is a third verse of the Gita Mahatmya coming up here. Maline mochanam pumsam jalasnanam dine dine sakrit gitam ritasnanam samsara mala nashanam. Translation, one may cleanse himself daily by taking a bath in water. But if one takes a bath even once in the sacred Ganges water of Bhagavad Gita, for him the dirt of material life is altogether vanquished. So very powerful to bathe in the holy Ganga. But simply by hearing Bhagavad Gita, simply by coming in contact and applying the good instructions, then the dirt of material life is altogether vanquished.
Where's that, Maharaj?
Huh?
Where's that at? You're reading that. And it's from 1866.
No, no, no. This is I did make reference because it's part of the last portion of the introduction. Prabhupada is quoting various verses from the Gita Mahatmya, and he did make reference to the 18th chapter, one of the verses, which is basically giving the same message. And then Prabhupada goes on to explain, I mean, he spends two pages, describing the glories, actually, of the Bhagavad Gita. Gita sugita kartavya kim manyai shastra vistarai yasvayam padmanabhasya mukha padmad vinishrita. Because Bhagavad Gita is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one need not read any other Vedic literature. One need only attentively and regularly hear and read Bhagavad Gita. In the present age, people are so absorbed in mundane activities that it is not possible for them to read all the Vedic literatures. But this is not necessary. This one book, Bhagavad Gita, will suffice because it is the essence of all Vedic literatures, and especially because it is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then one more verse that Prabhupada gives here is Bharatamrita sarvasyam Vishnu vaktrad vinishitam Gita gango dakam pitva punar janma navidyate. One who drinks the water of the Ganges attains salvation. So what to speak of one who drinks the nectar of the Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita is the essential nectar of the Mahabharata, and it is spoken by Lord Krishna himself, the original Vishnu. Bhagavad Gita comes from the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Ganges is said to emanate from the lotus feet of the Lord. Of course, there's no difference between the mouth and the feet of the Supreme Lord, but from an impartial study, we can appreciate that Bhagavad Gita is even more important than the water of the Ganges. Sarvopanishado gavo. Gavo. That's connecting with our theme yesterday. and a very nice translation on this. So sarvopanishado gavo dugdha gopala nandanaha parto vatsa sudhira bhukta dugdham gitam ritam mahat. Translation. This is verse 6. This Gitopanishad, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita also known as Gitopanishad. This Gitopanishad, Bhagavad Gita, the essence of all the Upanishads, is just like a cow. And Lord Krishna, who is famous as a cowherd boy, is milking this cow. Arjuna is just like a calf. And learned scholars and pure devotees are to drink the nectarian milk of Bhagavad Gita. Nice, eh? Just like Prabhupada speaks about Srimad Bhagavatam, isn't it, as being the mature fruit of all the Vedic literatures. So Bhagavad Gita is also the essence. The Bhagavad Gita has further, we could say, expanded through the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So both Bhagavad Gita in this way and Srimad Bhagavatam, just like every day we eat to nourish this body. So we must hear something from especially these two literatures to nourish our soul, actually. Yeah. And then the seventh mantra, Ekam Shastram Devakiputra Gitam Eko Devo Devakiputra Eva Eko Mantras Tasya Namami Yani Karma Pyekam Tasya Devasya Seva. In this present day, people are very much eager to have one scripture, one God, one religion, and one occupation. Therefore, Ekam Shastram Devakiputra Gitam. Let there be one scripture only, one common scripture for the whole world, Bhagavad Gita. Eko Devo Devakiputra Eva. Let there be one God for the whole world, Sri Krishna. Eko mantras tasya namami. Namani. And one hymn, one mantra, one prayer. The chanting of his name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Karmapi ekam tasya devasya seva. And let there be one work only, the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is how Srila Prabhupada concludes his fairly long introduction to the Bhagavad Gita by giving in the first portion of the introduction, we could say the essence of the Bhagavad Gita, and then by glorifying how important Bhagavad Gita. Still, majority of people actually outside of India are yet to know about the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? And that's why this month of December, it is practically always during this month of December that this Gita Jayanti falls. This year it's a little early, the 2nd, today we're the 2nd of December. And that's why we have book distribution marathon, especially in India, well, other countries also. Devotees distribute huge amounts of, especially Bhagavad Gitas. This is the month of Bhagavad Gita, actually. And, well, just like they had, I guess, in New Orleans a few days back, they had like a contest. So they do that on a grand scale as well. Somehow as devotees, yeah, we need to continue increasing our understanding and our appreciation as well of the Bhagavad Gita. And devotees, I'm sure in different countries have prepared many PowerPoints, for example, that explain Bhagavad Gita. Even as devotees, we sometimes don't realize, but it is described as the most, you know, if somebody wants, and we can tell that to people also, if you want a book, if you want the best book on psychology, you got to read the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is the best book that can help, actually, individuals. It just completely analyzes, you know. So we can actually, this is not this is not like some kind of propaganda or false propaganda or trick to get people interested. It's fact. It's factual. Bhagavad Gita is the best book, actually, in many respects, especially psychology, because it analyzes our, you know, what people, most people are confused. You know, they don't understand the mind, the workings of the mind, because it's all subtle. A lot of books written on psychology. Usually it's a university, you take a course, can take a course on psychology. But mostly it's highly speculative. You know, Freud and others have, you know, there are many prominent psychologists who end up giving all kinds of wrong or, yeah, at least incomplete understanding to people. So devotees are meant actually to be the really qualified psychologists in society by simply presenting as Srila Prabhupada has presented, you know, the facts of life in terms of what this body, you know, what is the constitutional position of this body and how we're meant to interact with our body, how this body and this mind is meant to interact with others and with society, etc. What other books speak about the modes of material nature? You know, I've never read this Bhagavad Gita. We cannot properly understand how to deal with ourselves, how to deal with others, how to deal with society, unless we don't have that basic fundamental knowledge of that's one of the five principles, prakriti, right? Prakriti, which is dealing with the modes of material nature. And of course, you know, the karma element. So this is Krishna's gift, actually, to humanity. The essence of all understanding, of all knowledge, which, of course, is referred to in the verses we have read this morning, which is meant to bring us, you know, to completely transcend our material position and reinstate ourselves fully, which is possible even while we are here in this material world, in this material body, to reinstate ourselves spiritually. And of course, it's based on this most important knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and the lifestyle. So this is very important link. It's like people will have great difficulty understanding the lifestyle that we are promoting, let's say, based on simple living and high thinking, if they don't have the knowledge of the philosophy, isn't it? Because the lifestyle is meant to demonstrate or emanate the philosophy. The way we are living externally is meant to reflect the philosophy. We're meant to live our philosophy in this way. So these two things are very important. It means we cannot convince people of living in this more simplified way unless we also introduce them, you know, to the basic concepts that are there in the Bhagavad Gita. And of course, some people will be receptive, others may just not be ready for that.